Well, my view and that of many other people whom I come into contact with in the HIV AIDS world is that, without exaggerating its impact, it certainly is considered one of the landmark AIDS conferences in the world. And that includes those which have been held recently. And I think the reason it is considered a landmark conference is that quite a number of issues came to the fore, which stood quite outside the academic program or the research program to some extent, although in the end, when one looks back at the HIV/AIDS epidemic and the states and the world's responses to it, it really should be considered as being integral to what AIDS conferences are all about.
I think many people describe AIDS 2000 as the first AIDS conference that really put a human face on the epidemic. Would you agree with that?
I think at a minimum, but I think it's more than that. It certainly put a human face on it, but for some prior reasons. And the prior reasons are that it brought to bear the full horror and extent and scale of the epidemic in terms of the global size of the problem. The fact that the majority of the cases of HIV/AIDS, and currently say about two-thirds of them, are in developing countries and mostly in on this continent in Africa, really needed to be brought to the attention and to the responses needed from the rest of the world. And I guess what Durban did is brought that to the fore. And as the problems here were so different in that at that time, if you remember, we had little or no access to drugs which were at least available, even if not freely, but at least available to people in developing countries, it made the problem really one of exceeding anguish and great reflection of the extent of poverty which determined availability of health resources throughout the world.
Now, I'm going to read you a quote, your quote, from the opening remarks of the AIDS conference 10 years ago, and it says, "We have a monumental task ahead of us, and there's not a second to look back to our yesterdays, to look back at our fears and frustrations. We have no other choice but to go forward and to keep our minds on acting firmly on the knowledge we already have and of uncovering new ideas and new knowledge on what should be done." In your view, did you succeed in meeting that task?
I think so. Partly, obviously, because the very nature of the epidemic, first of all, necessitates us looking realistically at what we can achieve or what we have achieved. So although I may have sounded as if we might get a vaccine and prevent heterosexual and homosexual transmission, etc., much more successfully than we have, certainly we've gone in the right direction. I think, secondly, what those remarks really related to was the issue in South Africa, and that is we had at that time already a really dreadful history of a schism between the state, by which I mean mainly President Mbeki, and the scientific community and parts of civil society, and in fact, the scientific community, not only here in the country, but throughout the world. So I was reflecting on that and trying to say that, you know, really, although it was so discouraging that our first democratic government could have descended to the level of trying to challenge certain essential methods of arriving at the truth through science, that despite all of that and despite all the anguish that caused and the gulf which had opened up between us and them, us meaning the civil society and scientists and government, despite all of that, the problem was so large and so urgent and so terrifying that we had to deal with the present and the future rather than dwelling too much on the past. In a way, it was almost calling for President Mbeki to start with us anew in this endeavor to recapture lost ground and to use the best that the world had available at that time and in the future for the betterment of our society, in particular, the prevention of the spread of the disease. It didn't happen entirely like I thought it might.
Now, of course, you're referring to the controversy that was surrounding the AIDS conference at that time, where then-President Mbeki was being accused of basically denying the link between HIV and AIDS. Is that correct?
That's true. I mean, that was the main difficulty that arose, and it was taken as an affront by scientists throughout the world. But the second also was that he disputed the efficacy of some of the drugs, which is in a way just as bad or even worse, because it prevented access to drugs which could have been affordable at least to South Africa. So in that two respects, yes, that is what I was referring to. Prior to the opening of the conference, there was a movement through thousands of scientists through the world and some Nobel laureates in that group who had developed a statement which is really very critical and has been probably forgotten about what science does to arrive at the truth. In a word, saying it is more important how we behave, what methods we use, and what sort of approaches we have to getting at the truth of any particular disease or any disorder or any issue that arises in science, which Mbeki had not understood. That declaration, which was published in Science, if I remember rightly, was quite an important outcome of the processes before the conference started, and it involved the scientific community in an endeavor which was quite critical to letting communities and populations in Africa know how important was the respect for the scientific method. Not that it is infallible, of course not. No scientist would say that. But simply to say that it is the most successful method that any civilization has ever developed.
I remember when that statement was released, and at the time, as you mentioned, it was very big news. Now, at the end of the conference, you introduced former President Nelson Mandela, who addressed this controversy and basically said, okay, it's time to stop debating. We need to get on to what's really important here. What was your view of his speech at the time?
I came as close to weeping as I possibly could. I think I was overjoyed, as was my wife and as were my colleagues who organized the conference. And I think more than that, you may not remember that there was an absolute unqualified and spontaneous standing ovation for what Mr. Mandela said. In a way, although the opening ceremony is remembered for Mbeki and his foibles and his serious flaws, the closing ceremony reminded us that South Africa had something very, very important, and it had the quality of its people and its president, Mr. Mandela, who was a good reminder of what people of integrity and standing and belief in the workings of science can do. I think many people actually left with that remembrance of the success of the conference. That drove back a little the disappointments of the beginning with Mbeki.
How has the battle against HIV/AIDS changed over the past 10 years, in your view?
It's been cyclical. When Mr. Mandela was the president, Mr. Mbeki really was doing a lot of the background governance. So there was always the problems about what Mbeki believed in. That was kept under some sort of control when Mandela was president. But when Mbeki became president, they were the worst years. They were really, really bad years. And to increase the problems, he appointed a really remarkable health minister called Mantu Shabalala, who has died recently, but she was a complete disaster. Problems, I don't think she was her own woman. She was really reflecting the views of the president. So Mbeki holds the responsibility for all the problems that arose during that period. And those problems were immense. They range from the failure to provide drugs, which were essential. So you probably had thousands of children who got infected because mothers were not given antiretrovirals to prevent mother-to-child transmission. And there's been one calculation that because antiretrovirals were not given to people already infected, adults mostly, we lost something like 330,000 lives. the immensity of that impact of Mbeki's really unscientific views has not been accurately assessed. Maybe it can never be done. The scale of his disbelief, or his lack of understanding rather than disbelief, was quite enormous.